The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Does that frighten you to hear that God's coming with vengeance? Does that frighten you to hear about the recompense, the just pay that God is going to give? Well, it should frighten you. It should scare you to death. Because our God is a consuming fire, Scripture says, and who can stand against His wrath in the day of judgment? Make no mistake about it. Judgment is real. Eternal punishment is real for those who absolutely insist on going to hell. But God, in His mercy, has sent His Son in the flesh, a true man and true God, to take our place, to bear the wrath that is rightly ours. God sent His Son for you. God sends His Son to you every time we gather for worship. God sends His Son with His saving gospel to you as the word is proclaimed. This morning, if you were here for the divine service, you saw how God sent His Son to Ava Copeland when she was baptized. And certainly the same is true for you. God sends His Son to you in the absolution that I pronounce as the pastor of this flock. God sends His Son to you with all His saving mercies in the gospel that is proclaimed. And God sends His Son to you in a very, very special way in the gift of Christ's body and Christ's blood under the bread and wine for you to eat and to drink. Do you see what all God has done for you? God sent His Son into the world so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through Him, the world might be saved. Behold, your God comes to you. And in Christ, you need not fear His vengeance, because that vengeance which you and I deserve on account of our sins was poured out upon Jesus Himself, God's own dear Son. He paid the recompense that God demanded of you and me. And so now, for those in Christ, for those who have faith in Jesus, God's own dear Son, God comes to save you and to save me. Now, at the time the book of Isaiah was written, the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ was some 600 years away. And yet in tonight's reading, Isaiah speaks of the glories and the wonders of the Messianic age. Isaiah speaks of the wilderness and the dry, lifeless land being glad. He speaks about the desert rejoicing and blossoming like the crocus, that the desert shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. You see, in the Messianic age, when God sends His Son, all creation will ultimately be renewed. It's not just you and me. It's certainly not just our souls or spirits or whatever you want to call them. The whole of you, body, soul, spirit, mind, and emotion, will participate in this renewal of all creation in Christ. Your body, laid in the grave, will come forth. If you die of a stroke, there won't be any blood clots, any clogged arteries. If you die of cancer, there won't be any wasting away of your body, and it will not come out of the grave an emaciated, eaten up shell. No, you will be renewed when your God comes to you, when Christ reappears. And there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more tears, no more sickness, no more death. This is a promise of the renewed creation. Isaiah says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. I am sure that as a Christian, sometimes the struggle becomes too much. Sometimes you find yourself discouraged. You look at the world around you, and it seems to be collapsing into ruin. It seems to be like the Gadarene swine rushing toward the edge of the cliff and plunging into the water to their own destruction. And you look at yourself into your heart and you ask, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? And you are in despair over your own faith. You may even be in despair. Am I really a Christian? Do I really have faith in Jesus? Well, those times, God speaks to you, saying, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Do not be anxious whether or not the love of God has been extended to you. It has. In Christ Jesus, in the one whose nativity we will celebrate in 10 days. Remember, God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son for you. And remember the gifts of God that make you glad as a believer. For in these gifts, God comes to you. As I mentioned, in baptism, in preaching, in absolution, in the Holy Supper of Jesus' body and blood, God comes to you to save you. You do not come to Him. You are too weak and helpless. You are mired in the pit of your own sin, in the morass of your iniquity. But God comes to you, mighty to save, in the one who experienced weakness and humiliation on the cross, the one who suffered and died and was raised again, and who in doing so reaches out His hand and He pulls you out of the pit of your own destruction, your own self-made hell. Isaiah goes on to describe the Messianic age. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Jesus has been there. He has done that. And the ears of the deaf unstopped. Jesus has been there too, and He has done that. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer. And we've heard many times how Jesus made the lame to walk, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And again, The Gospels tell us how Jesus did those very things. Guess what? The Messianic age has arrived in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does this mean for you? The eyes of the blind shall be opened. Well, you can't, by your own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel. He has enlightened you with His gifts so that you can see the glory of God, the mercy of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. The ears of the deaf unstopped. God has caused His word to be proclaimed to you. And through His Holy Spirit, He has opened your ears. He has enabled you to look forward to His coming again. He has given you ears that hear the word so you can believe it, so you can cling to that word in the midst of trouble or anxiety or despair over your own sin. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer. Well, I don't see anyone leaping here. But what that means is that you and I, who are crippled, paralyzed by our sin, can now walk in the way which is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way to the Father. And the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. That's what we did in the liturgy this evening. That's what we did in the hymn that we sing. See, God has loosened our tongue so that we can sing forth the praises of Him who makes His glory, His mercy, His kindness, His forgiveness known in the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is something wonderful. That is something God has done for each of you. Now, if you aren't happy with that, if you absolutely insist on going to hell, you can do so, but your Heavenly Father has put a barrier in your way that you will have to climb over first. And that barrier is the incarnate, crucified, resurrected body of His Son. And because you have been baptized into Christ, no matter which way you turn, there is Christ Himself impeding you on your headlong, insistent rush into hell. He says to you, "See my hands, see my feet, see my side, see my thorn-pierced brow. All these things I suffered for you, for your salvation. I bore your sin. I bore the sin of your trying to get away from me." Are you sure you really want to go? And then again, hearing the word, hearing the gospel, hearing the good news of salvation in Christ, your faith, which may have seemed weak, like a guttering candle, is strengthened and flares up and burns brightly, and it is none of your doing. It is the doing of the God who comes to you in His Son, Jesus Christ. So what does this mean for you and for me? What does this mean for us as a body of believers? We don't go it on our own. Like it or not, we have been knit together as one body of believers, known as Mount Olive Lutheran Church. In the epistle, James addresses a body of believers. He says to be patient until the coming of the Lord. Yeah, we want him to come. We want him to make all things new again. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, the church prays. But until then, we remain patient, enduring, steadfast, knowing that God has us here for a purpose, to be his church in this place, to shine forth the light of Christ in a darkened world, to show forth the love and mercy of Christ in a world that really does not believe in love and mercy. So as James says, establish your hearts. Let your hearts be fixed firmly on the gospel and the one who is the content of that gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the next item, the next agenda on God's schedule of our salvation is the return of his Son, and we do not know when that shall be, when it shall come to pass, but it is coming, and it could happen at any time. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And his coming is at hand right here, right now, just as it was this morning in the divine service, just as it is every time the church gathers together. Our merciful Lord comes to his people to forgive them, to encourage and strengthen them, to wipe away the tears of grief, to give joy to the burdened heart, to strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. That's why James says, don't grumble against one another so that you may not be judged, because look at the good things God has done for you. And compare those good things to the relatively minor things other people have done to you. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, and he calls us to extend mercy to one another as we have been the beneficiaries of the mercy he has extended to us. So, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They, all the people of this world, shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And it is made most perfectly known in Jesus, our Savior. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, with the glory of the only Son of the Father. The glory of the Word made flesh. The glory that was revealed when Jesus was baptized as heaven opened and the Holy Spirit came down upon him. And the Father said of him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The glory of the transfiguration, where the majesty and splendor of Jesus' divine nature illuminated his entire human nature, so that he was brighter than the sun. And again the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The glory of the resurrection, the glory of his ascension into heaven, the glory of his coming again. We shall see this glory as we abide in Christ by the grace of God. We shall see this glory because your sins are forgiven, my sins are forgiven by this glorious, merciful servant of the Lord, the Son of God, the Word made flesh. in light of that glory, everything else around us, all the annoyances of life in a fallen world, all the thorns that pierce us on our pilgrimage through this world to the eternal heavenly kingdom of God our Father, all these pale into insignificance in the great glory of God revealed in Christ Jesus. The glory that is hinted at tonight in our service, and the glory that we shall one day behold face to face. Your God will come, and He will come for you so that you can participate in His glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.